Good morning. This is Tell It Like It Is. Christina Malisoff here in studio. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra, and it is 10 o'clock. We are here every Thursday from 10 to 11, and I'm very happy to say that back in studio with me, I have Jane Toby from Women in Black, and she will be actually doing the interview today. She will be interviewing her guest, Taha Awadalla, and we can tell you who that is, but stay tuned in the meantime. Okay, so I'm very happy to say this morning that Jane Toby is joining me again. Jane Toby is a human rights activist. She initiated the Women in Black vigils in the Hudson Valley in 2001 and participated in international gatherings of women in black, including the 2005 conference in Jerusalem. She then traveled with Women in Black to the West Bank and returned to Bethlehem for longer stays, where she did volunteer work with AEI, Arab Educational Institute, so that she could learn about Palestinian women and their families. One of the families she visited was Taha Awadalla's in the village of Al-Walaja. She is here today to interview Taha about his family life and his filmmaking experiences. Taha Awadalla is a young and promising Palestinian filmmaker from the village of Al-Walaja, in the West Bank. His film, The Thyme Sower, and that's thyme as in the herb, depicting the life of his mother, Hend, won great acclaim and has been shown at various international Palestinian film festivals. Taha is now here in Catskill for about 2 months. He will be involved with Greene County Council of the Arts in their upcoming program, Wall Street to Main Street. He is being hosted today by Jane Toby. But before we begin, Jane, I just wanted to ask you on this International Women's Day, why Women in Black? You've been on the show before talking about Women in Black, along with Ellie Bernstein, who actually did a film on Women in Black. And for people who haven't heard that interview, you can always go to the WGXC archives and listen to that, and also Google Women in Black. But can you tell us, Jane, again, on International Women's Day, why women? Why Women in Black?
Good morning, Christina. It's really good to be here on this International Women's Day. Do you know women have been in their homes? They have been separated from the streets, from political life. Traditionally, they have been enclosed, and they are again being enclosed, especially when we talk with Taha, we'll see the situation of his family in Al-Walaja. Women believe it is necessary to communicate their lives, the reality of their existence, their families. So they have taken to the streets and brought their silence as a political measure to the streets with their voice to tell about their lives and the lives of their people. Women suffer the most, children suffer the most from deprivation, from wars, and from violence. Their voices need to be heard. Women care the most. They raise their families. So I've always championed for women's voices, and that was the reason that I went, one of the reasons that I went to Bethlehem and to Al-Walaja to interview women, to be able to understand them and their families. Yes, so good morning, Taha. We always have a good morning because Taha makes me a Palestinian breakfast.
Good morning, Jane, and good morning, Christina. Good morning, everybody. I'm really happy to be here in the United States. And by the way, it's my first time ever for me to be in the U.S. And I like my new experiences here in the U.S.
Oh, that's great.
So Welcome, definitely.
So let's pretend that we're sitting down to our Palestinian breakfast. What do you make for me every morning?
Yeah, we just used to make our breakfast like olive oil and za'atar. What's it called? Za'atar?
Za'atar, yes. It's that is a wild thyme.
Yeah, thyme. Yeah, and hummus. Hummus with olive oil and tea, yeah.
And then after that, we drink something very special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Arabic coffee. It's the Palestinian coffee. And it's strong, and I'm advising you just to drink it in the morning, not in the evening.
I just wanted to say, Taha, you also brought some music, so whenever you want to play the music, just let me know. And also, I think some clips also from your film, or no?
Actually, yes. It's the music that I added in my last scene in my film, which is called The End of the... The End of the Brave Man. So
just let me know when you want me to.
Okay,
well, let's talk about who you are and your experience in filmmaking. Can you tell me why? What is your desire? What has been your desire to make films?
Actually, I'm just a little bit confused where I can begin. But I can say that when Al Jazeera channel start, it was my plot point in my life that this big Arabic channel, it's changed my point of view to the world. And in this case, I just recognize and realize how much is the media, it's important for the people and social media. So that's why I decided, in the beginning, I decided to study like press and media, something like that. Then I decided to go further and to study filmmaking, where I found myself, and I graduated from Dar al-Kalima College, which is in Bethlehem, in filmmaking, and I got honor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually it was 4 years ago.
4 years ago,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you come from Al-Waja. Are there opportunities within Al-Walaja for radio stations or, to communicate with the outside world? What is Al-Walaja like?
Yeah. Actually, Al-Walaja, it's a small village. Most of them, they are Muslims. They're living in a small village which is called Al-Walaja, and it's between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And now we are on the Israeli and Palestinian line borders, if we can call it like borders. But we living in this, we living exactly near these borders. So, and now they, the Israeli soldiers, they constructing the wall around this village, and we will be separate, even though we will be separate of West Bank and Israel in the same times. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little village.
So I remember when I was visiting your family,
yeah,
we looked out from where you are living now in Al-Walaja 67, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
To your original village up on the hills. Can you tell me something about that?
Yes, it's because my original people from Al-Walaja, they immigrate from the original village which called Walaja 1948. I'm sorry, I'm talking about number, but it's the number, it's the date where is Israel state established, and actually it's established on our villages, our towns, our where our grandparents, where they are. So yeah, we just immigrate from mountain to the another one. So I am refugee, and my family, they are refugee, just like, 5 kilometers, something like that. So now we are separate. We are separate between our original village. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and now, on top of that, you're going to lose more acres or dunams, as you say, of land, because the wall is going to be constructed around the Al-Walaja village where you live.
Yes, actually, before I came here, they when they was constructing the wall, I used to wake up every day to find this demonstration next our home. And there is a lot of internationals, a lot of Israeli friends. They came to help us, to demonstrating with us. It's because this wall will confiscating the most of Al-Walaja land, which is the mostly remain. I mean, in West Bank. So yeah, we'll be like this. We will be like a prison, and surround us there is settlement. And on the other side, there is a street, I mean Israeli street, not Palestinian street. And we have this 48, I mean Israel-Palestine borderline. And now we are separate. We are exactly like in the prison. So when we say something about the wall in Palestine, the people, they just imagining that the wall between two nations, between two countries, and it's separate them. But it's not like this at all. The wall, it's around the villages, around the cities. For example, Bethlehem. Bethlehem now, it's like in a prison. It's like this. So it's not there is a country called Palestine, and it's separate between Palestine and Israel. It's not like that at all. The wall is just constructing to kill the life there, nothing more.
So may I ask, can you describe, as a filmmaker, you are very visual, can you describe for us what that wall looks like? What does it feel like? How does this impact the people every day? How do they get across the wall, or maybe they're not supposed to? And
actually, if you look at the map of the wall, you can see something like snake.
A snake.
Yeah, snake. And this snake will killing the Palestinian life, and the killing the last hope that they have now, that to push them to immigrate by themselves, not by force, which is was like in 1948. Just to push them, to force them to immigrate once again. So it's like snake. It's around the Palestinian like snake.
How tall is it?
Actually, I don't remember the numbers. But
it's 25 feet high.
So it blocks out the sun?
Yes.
To a certain extent, 25 feet high. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly high wall.
It's 9 meters also.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I have been in Berlin. And I have seen, I saw the Berlin Wall. But really, when I standing next to this wall, I just say, oh my God. Even Berlin Wall, we can't comparing with the Palestinian Wall. Now, the Berlin Wall, it's like, let's say, 3 meters. 3 meters, it's like this, maximum. But in Palestine, it's 9.
Okay.
It's 9 meters.
And made out of concrete?
Is it made out of stone or
wood? Stones, and it depends. Sometimes it's what's called
razor wire.
Yes,
is wire.
Yes, yes,
yes.
And but it will take a lot of space in this case.
Yes, and not only the path for the wall, but the path for the seam around the wall, the path for Israeli only roads, etc. So, being encaged even more so. Your film about the time cellar is really important. Could you tell us about the time cellar?
Time cellar, I think when the teachers in my filmmaking college asked me about idea for my graduation project, the first idea coming up to my mind, it's to make a documentary about the workers, the Palestinian workers, they working illegally inside Israel, which was my experiences there. So when I start to making my research about them, and I know how much it's difficult to carrying your camera and go and filming those worker illegally, and there is soldiers will be follow us. It's really dangerous situation. Then I just, when I go home, I found my mother. She preparing the thyme herbs to be able to sell it the day after in Beit Jalassati. So I just said to myself, oh my God, why should I go to further idea, even I have very close idea in my house. So yeah, I believe me, it takes me 5 months to decide to make this film? It's because it's something sensitive. You will narrate your story. It's personal story. When I am talking about my mother, it's something personal story. And it's like a risk. And I don't want to lose my dreams in filmmaking field if this film field or... So it's like a risk. That's why I took 5 months to decide to make this film. So I shot this film like just 2 days and only 2 days for editing, but really was very powerful, grateful film, which is my teachers really appreciated and get me honor because of it. And I participate in it in Boston, Palestine Film Festival, San Francisco Film Festival, in Europe, I don't remember too. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Just let me to talk a little bit about my mother, my mother's story. So I wakes up to my life to found my mother struggling in her life, collecting thyme herbs or any other
herbs
stuff, mm-hmm. and sell it the day after in Bejala city, which is a town close to Bethlehem.
Could I ask you something?
Yeah,
how does she sell that? I mean, the movie shows something that we don't have at all in the States, and that's why it is so important for us to see it. It's an entirely different culture, and your short 22-minute documentary shows that culture, exactly where she gets the herbs and how she wraps them up and how she sells them. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can imagine how much is different between the two cultures, but I will try to explain it. So the farmers in the villages, they used to collect the thyme herbs and their farmers,
yeah.
And to be able the day after to sell it in the city. So we used to collect the thyme herbs, za'atar, from our village. I mean, my mother and I and my brother. It's like 35 years, this story. So to be able the day after to sell it in Bejala city. And she wasn't sell it in the market. She was sell it, just go knock the door after door, try to sell it so her family could survive. So, yeah, and the most important message that I noticed that I know about it in my film, that the film end without my mother be able to sell this za'atar. Mm. So it's kind of non-action film that we hope to be done in this film, but it's not. So this kind of non-fiction documentary film, mm-hmm. non-action documentary film, which is there is no action that we hope to happen in this film. And actually I would like to hearing you the music in the last scene.
Yes, the last scene is very beautiful, of your mother walking down the path in Alwalaja after she comes back from Bejala without having been able to sell the herbs. Okay. It's a very moving part.
Thank you.
Thank you. So do you know that this film is going to be shown as part of Greene County Council on the Arts Wall Street to Main Street project on Sunday, March 25th at 2 p.m. at Brick Gallery on Main Street in Catskill. So also Taha will have DVDs if people are interested in having copies of this film.
Jane, how would they get a hold of a DVD? Who would they?
We will have them at the film, okay. But also would you like to have Taha's email?
Or your email, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or Women in Black? The women, could they go through? No? Well, we'll figure it out later. Okay.
Okay, because I have Taha's email and my telephone number. Do you want that?
Sure. I mean, if you feel comfortable giving it out.
Or I can also give you my email, both.
It's up to you.
So why don't you give your email?
Okay, my email is taha1981@gmail.com.
Okay, and mine is janetoby7@gmail.com.
Okay.
So I hope that people will be able to come to the Wall Street to Main Street project.
Right.
And actually, they invited Taha to be here, and I'm hosting him. So that would be wonderful to support his work and the work of GCCA then. So what about your other films, Taha? Do they represent a certain philosophy of life that you have? Because I saw a very early film of yours called A Safe Place, which I found very beautiful, and I thought it might represent a certain philosophy of life that you have.
Actually, I made this film when I was a student, when I was still a student in my filmmaking college, and it's because the wellness course, which is focusing and concentrate on meditation. So, and really I like meditation course. It's because it's psychology rest of all this conflicts which is around us. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. We seeing every day, we seeing this bad news on the news channel on TV. On Al Jazeera and everywhere, there is blood, there is killing in everywhere, there is pressure, psychological pressure in everywhere, social problems, occupation. There is a lot of problems in this corner of the world. And there is no psychological rest at all. So when I was walking from my village to Bethlehem, I just imagining and wondering what if the people doesn't take this rest, what will gonna be happen for those people? And it's exactly what's happening right now. There is a lot of social problems, there is a lot of pressure, there is a lot of people, they can't be patient anymore and they start to lose their mind. Mm. So that's why I decided to make a short film which called Safe Place, and I think that everybody of us is looking for this safe place inside him or her. The safe place, it's about my experiences and my real safe place in my village, and there is something like cabin and it's the only cabin in this mountain. Whereas I used to watch sunset every day and meditate every. Sorry, apologize for about my English, but
no, it's fine.
Very good.
But I hope that you will understand me. So it's the place where I used to watch sunset every day and meditate and even make something like feedback, talk with myself, go one step behind and think and realize what's going on. So yeah, it's like experimental film. When we're talking about experimental film, we're talking about new cinema language. We're talking about something, let's say, radical. But it was still Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was my experiences. Yeah.
So meditation is very important for
I
you.
Think so.
And you described this hill to me one morning that you like to go there every evening and climb up this hill and meditate at the top. Well, will that land be taken away from Alwalaja?
It's my real fear now while I am in the U.S. It's because I have really very beautiful land in Alwalaja, which is in front of sunset between the mountain. It's really fantastic. And last time we heard warning from the Israel military that they will confiscating the land because of the military reasons. And every time they say something like this for military service, uh-huh. for military reasons, so I don't know what is it.
Mm-hmm.
And I afraid that it will be confiscating because of the wall construction.
You were telling me about being in your house and hearing the explosions from dynamite that's breaking up the earth to build the wall. What happened?
You know, sometimes when we talking about the occupation, not all the time it will gonna be like tragedy. Sometimes it's gonna be like comedy. It's because before I seeing this explosion, which is really very close to our house, just 100 meter. So you can imagine that it's like earthquake.
Mm.
So before that, I was in Denmark. I was in Denmark for 7 months, let's say. And you know, really, Denmark, it's the opposite image of Palestine. Mm. There it's peaceful, happiness. The people, they like life. And even though that there is no deep like Palestine, but still, it's... So when I come back to Palestine and I just woke up in the morning and go to the top of the roof and just I want to say good morning for the life, and I just surprised by the demonstration against the wall, and there is tear gas and the people screaming and the soldiers and my father and my sister, they are injured. Oh my God. It's still morning. So yeah, but we used to, it's something that we, something become usual.
Yes, you got used to it.
Normal, something like this.
You take it for granted that
yeah.
this is the reality. Wow. Then there was another film that you made called One Man's Dream.
Uh-huh.
I know that also represents a certain philosophy of life that you have.
Yes, actually it's... this idea, which is about love story between Muslim young man and Christian girl from Bethlehem. They fall in love with each other. But the problem that our society, it's a little bit conservative. I mean, it's conservative.
Mm.
So, when we're talking about Christian, it's Christian. When we're talking about Muslims, they are Muslims, even though that we are one people, we are one Palestinian people. But still, Bethlehem, it's because Christian town, and they're proud to be Christian, and they are minority, and they have to keep for them minority. So that's why they a little bit conservative, more than Jerusalem or Ramallah. So this idea coming up to my mind, it's because I don't like to be differentiated only because of that our religion is different. I believe that if there is a God, and I hope that it will gonna be God, that he will not like to differentiate between the people, between the Jewish, between the Muslims and the Christians, or any people in this earth. So that's why I don't like to differentiate between the people upon them, upon their religion, or upon their what they believe. By the way, after I made this film, which called One Man's Dream, this film become like real for me, and I fall in love with the Christian girl, and she's refused me because of my religion. So yeah.
Because the marriages are set, aren't they? Many of the marriages are arranged by the parents, even in the Christian religion.
No, not now. I mean, in the past, yeah, it was like this, but now it's not. Only the family will be against the mixed marriage. Uh-huh. Nothing. I mean Muslims, between the Muslims and the Christian. Yeah.
But you told me something surprising to me, and it made me feel good because I'm Jewish, and I often thought, oh, it would be so good to be able to live in Palestine in the West Bank for some time. And in fact, that's why I went there. I needed to know, you know, about the Palestinians, because I'm American, because I'm Jewish, that there are some Palestinian Christians or Muslims who are married to Israeli Jewish people, and they live in the West Bank.
Actually, yeah, it's because we already know each other. I mean, Palestinian and Israeli, no matter where they are from, I mean, basically, they are Jewish, but when you're talking about Israel, you're talking about a lot of people. So, yeah, I know a lot of people in Bethlehem. They are married of Israeli girls. Mm-hmm. And all the society in Bethlehem, or I mean, all the community in Bethlehem, they know that they are Israeli girls and they are Jewish people, and they living in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Also, I have a friend of mine in Walaja village. He's married now of Israeli girl, and they're living normal. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I have a question, because what you're talking about to me is something that I think about all the time, that if there's going to be any future for the human race, I feel that a lot of what has caused trouble between people is this identification of saying, I am this or I am that. I personally try my best not to identify with any religion or nationality or you know, national identity, because I think this might be simplistic, but it seems to feed into the idea that I am me and you are you. And once that starts to go, you see it in this country, with the conservatives right now running rampant with using Christian ideology or their brand of Christian ideology to as an excuse for doing all kinds of discriminatory practices and just reaching the basest part of people, you know, pushing for you know, the prejudice and playing on that crapping on women's rights. Sorry, I'm saying such a word. I want, especially in the Middle East, it seems that there's so much tension around that's built up all this. And then you create this film called Meditation, which seems to be just the opposite of that. Because I think in meditation, you don't want to really identify with anything in particular. You just want to be present with what is
exactly
around you.
Yeah.
Can
you talk a little bit about that idea of identification and nationalism? Because I feel like that's what put up the wall. You know,
I think it's all the war there. It's because of this. It's because of the nationality and the religion. Yeah, basically, let's say. And I know that maybe there is another dimension for this conflict, which is economic. Yeah, but they used the poor people and convinced them that you are Muslim, you are Palestinian Muslim or Christian, and he is Israeli Jewish, and you are, both of you, you are different. And they raised up their children in this way. So, yeah, I don't believe in this way at all. And I mean, to programming the children, to programming the people, how they have to behave to be able to support the international economic system. Yes, I know that, and I know at some point we have to go out of this identification of religion. You know, I'm not secular, but really, I believe that. Just let us to take this example. I don't think that God, he really liked to differentiate between the people that he is Jewish or he's Muslim or Christian or Buddhist or anything. The first thing for God, it's love. Love and peace. And there is nothing, there is nothing called I or I am. There is something called we. We are together. I believe in this way. So, yeah, and I hope that we will success in this world, in this process to, and I think there is international consciousness about this. The world will not be stupid anymore for this life.
It seems like right now there's a tremendous fire with the Arab Spring and this consciousness of a democracy where every voice needs to be heard.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Yes. We were just at a conference in Boston at Harvard at the JFK School there called One State, One Solution, Israel-Palestine. That would go along with these people living together as equals. One wouldn't suppress the other. We wouldn't. There wouldn't be segregation. There wouldn't be apartheid. This is the dream. So I think that you have music of the oud too. Well, can you explain something about the oud? And then after that, I'd like to ask you about the film that you have in your mind to make.
Okay. First, this music, it's oud, and oud, it's Arabic instrument, and it's for Trio Gibran. They are three brothers from Nazareth, Palestinian, and they make something like team. And by the way, my producer teacher, he made a documentary about them, which called Improvisation. So I would like to hear you the music.
Okay, so Taha and Christina are looking for that music right now. I heard the ode when I was there in Bethlehem. There was a concert, and it's a very different instrument than anything that we have here. And then I would also like to ask Taha.
Well, actually, while he's looking for the music, I wanted to ask you to describe a little bit more of what Women in Black are doing right now. And maybe, actually, could you briefly tell us what you told me on the last show, your personal experience and why you felt that it was important to go the step further? You were going to peace vigils in Woodstock.
Yes.
And what your experience was, Jane, in driving you to go to the Middle East to stay with Taha's family?
Well, Edward Said once wrote that the West denies the Palestinians permission to narrate. So when I received a postcard from an Italian friend in Women in Black, with whom I had first visited the West Bank in 2005, I saw a postcard, I saw a young girl smiling out at us. And her back was against this 25-foot wall surrounding Bethlehem. And I knew I had to get to know more intimately the individual and collective stories of the Palestinians. Okay, I hear the oud music coming on.
Go ahead.
It's been said that Palestinians are living in a fantasy and Israelis are living in denial. And I wanted to see for myself, especially being American and Jewish, so I volunteered to work with AEI, but it was because of Women in Black that I dared to step over the line. Once you say, yes, I'm going to enter with these women, you see situations all over the world that are suppressing women, that are suppressing people, and you have to act. So Women in Black started in 1988 in Israel, from women who wanted to work with the to cross the ethnic boundaries, to join with Palestinian women and say, we are not for violence, we are not for an occupation, we believe that and now walls should come down. And I've stood with them ever since, internationally and in Jerusalem, too. They're still standing after all of these years.
Thank you, Jane. We're going to go to that piece of music now. Thank you.
do you see this music being played spontaneously by people? Is this music being played from their homes, or is it played only in formal concerts?
I think it's in formal concerts in France, yeah, in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite famous in Europe, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, what is the film that you are working on at the present time?
Actually, I working in on a short documentary which called She's Cute, which is about my niece. You know, I made my first film about my mother and now about my niece. This film, it's about the childhood point of view about the conflict surround them. So I just want to see the conflict and the life action in her eyes in our village. So, for example, she's going with her father and with her brothers. By the way, she's just only 3 years old. So just she going with her father, with her brother, small brothers, to his farm, to his land, where is he's planted olive trees. It's kind of resistance for the wall. And also she's seeing this demonstration against the wall every day, and she's seeing this conflict between the soldiers and the international protests. And how she living in her house, and at some point she also going to Bethlehem to celebrate in the Christmas day. Mm-hmm. Even though that we are Muslims, but we used to go in this tradition. It's like from our tradition to go and celebrate in the Christmas time in Bethlehem. So yeah.
So what is her name, Taha?
Her name is Tasneem.
Tasneem.
Yeah.
So you're seeing reality through her eyes and through her feelings.
Yeah.
Two women, that's great. Your mother and your niece. Now tell me, you've been in the U.S. for 2 weeks. It seems like a longer time because we've been talking about so much.
Yeah.
Well, what are your impressions of the U.S.? Where have you been? What do you think about our country?
I think... It's as I told you before, it's my first time in U.S. Also, it's my first time in New York State and New York City. And I think New York City, it's really crazy city because there is a lot of things going on around you. There is no stop. the life really here, it's action. There is, you know, it's New York. I can summarize it like this. It's just New York. So I like the experiences here. And what was a little bit shocked me that I came from Palestine to have rest, let's say rest in New York. But the first thing that I have seen it in New York City, it's Palestinian and Israeli conference in Harvard or New York University. So, oh my God, I just escaped from the situation there to find it here. Oh, please, come on. So, yeah.
Yes, we are very concerned because, you know, the United States gives millions of dollars to destruction around the world and to Israel. And So there are many people like Jewish Voice for Peace and Jews Against the Occupation, many, many groups who are working to inform people against what AIPAC has been telling us is the reality.
And AIPAC stands for the American...
You know, it's to represent Israel. And they're a very strong lobby. But there are many groups working against AIPAC.
By the way, when I was in Palestine, there is a lot of people, they just imagining that the American people, they are really rich people. So it was my surprise when I came here that really there is a lot of poor people here in U.S., I'm not exaggerating in this time, if I say for you, even more than Palestine. So just let us to imagine that this money that U.S. have it, don't send it to Palestine even or any country, but don't spend it for the war. Just invest this money for the poor people. You know, when I walking in New York City, and it's because I was holding this stereotype image that New York City, it's mean the rich people. Most of them, they are poor, and most of them, they are living in a subway, and they sleeping in the street. In Bethlehem, you will never find somebody who living in the street, even no matter where he's from. Even he is from Tel Aviv or in Israel, you will not. Because everybody will hug and hire everybody there, even in this conflict. And here in U.S., I just wondering, why should you... And visit this money in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in this war, while you can visit this money for those poor people.
We agree.
Absolutely.
Yes, so many of our services are being cut. But something else that you had spoken to me about was, and why it's so good to speak to you, is that you helped me realize what a civilization we have that is based on money. And that you come from a place where that wasn't so at first, because you had land and you had livestock and you had trees that you could eat off of, and all of that is destroyed to make you also into a capitalist place. So I think capitalism has destroyed so much. I mean, we saw it growing up. I grew up with woods and fields and farms, all destroyed so that the large corporations could have hold on our lives. And I see that happening to you. I think we're part of the same continuum.
I absolutely agree with you, Jane.
I think all of us, we just part of this economic circle international. So when I was in Palestine, I just thought that Palestine is the most worst place in the world. So I have to go and see the world in Europe and US and something like this. But when I went to Europe, also I see a lot of problems, and most of it it's economic problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the social problems, it's based on economic problems also. And also when I came here to New York, I can't imagine that there is poor people in New York City. When I came here, I really shocked that, oh my God, what's going on? There is no rest in anywhere. It's like this, even though that Palestine, okay, there is conflict, but at least you can feel it's your homeland, it's your original humanity, and at least you can feel in this spirituality, there is a social life, something like this. There is a hope, even this Israeli soldiers who standing against you, you feel that, he say it many times, that I'm just doing the orders, nothing more. So... even there is still a human, and I think the human problem here in US that we depends now in money and physical things more than spiritual, and it's not our interest, our real interest in our life. That's why you will see a lot of people, really, they are rich and they have money, and they just thinking that the happiness only in money. But it's not like this. Even if you have $10 million, okay, maybe you will be happy for 10 days, but then afterward you will act like the poor man to be happy like them.
Yes, I remember sitting amongst your family in a very simple room in your home, and we were having za'atar, and your mother was baking bread and showed me how to bake bread in the taboon, right?
Yeah.
There are stones, hot stones in there, and you put the bread, the dough that you have, you've shaped it with your hands. You put the dough right on top of those hot stones, and you put them into the taboon, the oven, and then you pull it out. And it's so wonderful to sit around with your family like that in this very simple way and to feel such enormous pleasure.
Oh, please, you just make me miss my family. So
I just want to also say very quickly, because the both of you, what I also am taking away from the description of some of your films is that you're very connected to nature. And I think if people become, the more they become disconnected from nature, and what you were saying, Jane, about trees and woods being cut down, and then you're talking about the beauty of your country and the olives and the olive trees and the connection between food. This is why I love food so much, mm-hmm. and where it comes from. The Hudson Valley has a very rich agricultural history, but now it seems that the land is not respected. Do you think that is also part of the destruction of this consciousness where money doesn't fit in, or it's a different kind of consciousness, and you need to reconnect to that land and that humanity that goes with nature, strangely enough?
I agree with you totally. At some point, I think we are becoming like hungry people, hungry for everything, hungry for money, hungry for food, hungry for drink, hungry for everything. And it's the main point in the capitalism, and I think at some point it will destroy itself. Mm. It's like this, so I don't know when we will have this magic end point and when we will wake up.
Another beautiful experience I had at your home was walking down to a fresh spring of ice water, and so many springs in Palestine now have been confiscated. Water, the essential for life. And that was, everyone wanted to show me that. We walked down through the fields with your mother, and the sheep were gambling on either side, and we walked down to the spring and cupped it in our hands and drank it. It was a very sacred moment.
By the way, we're talking about water. By the way, we're talking about water. Do you know that if you seeing the wall map, you will just wondering why it's going like snake like this? And it's because they confiscating the water resource.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Land. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, could I read a poem by Mahmoud Darwish, who is your beautiful, beautiful poet. He was born in 1942, and he died actually on my birthday, August 9th, 2008. And the poem is called I Belong There. I belong there. I have many memories. I was born as everyone is born. I have a mother, a house with many windows, brothers, friends, and a prison cell with a chilly window. I have a wave snatched by seagulls, a panorama of my own. I have a saturated meadow. In the deep horizon of my word, I have a moon, a bird's sustenance, and an immortal olive tree. I have lived on the land long before swords turned man into prey. I belong there. When heaven mourns for her mother, I return heaven to her mother, and I cry so that a returning cloud might carry my tears. To break the rules, I have learned all the words needed for trial by blood. I have learned and dismantled all the words in order to draw from them a single word, home. Thank you so much, Christina, for the possibility for Taha and myself to be here. And I just want to, make it known again that he will be talking to the public, having conversations with them at GCCA's Wall Street to Main Street, and he will be showing his film on Sunday, March 25th at 2 p.m. at Brick Gallery, Main Street, Catskill. And he will be documenting the opening on the 17th from at 2 o'clock on the 17th.
Okay.
Yes.
And again, if people want more information, they can contact the Brick Gallery?
No, they would contact Greene County Council on the Arts.
Okay, great. Yes. And if people want to know more about that, they can always call the station or they can Google Greene County Council of the Arts. Yes, go ahead.
Wall Street to Main Street Project.
Wall Street to Main Street Project, mm-hmm. which hopefully we'll have someone on soon to talk about that. In the remaining 1 minute that we have, I just want to thank you both, Taha and Jane, for coming on. And Taha, do you have any last word for us?
Thank you. I'm really proud to be between the American people. I believe in your humanity. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bill McKibben from 350.org, and you're listening to WGXC, that's 90.7 on your FM dial, ACRA, putting the community back in radio.
Many working individuals and families experience difficulty finding affordable health insurance. If your children are uninsured, you can talk